This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the Fan, we are live all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7. Of course, you can listen to us wherever you are on the always free and available Odyssey app. We're also, for the next 3 hours, starting right now, live in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 105.1. The show is brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to help you to draft a will or set up a trust, put together a medical power of attorney, schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We told you we're having a monster football season preview today and throughout the week on the show. You've already heard from Kevin Burkhardt from the A-Team on Fox and one of our favorite analysts in America, one of the top analysts at CBS, our buddy Charles Davis, is on the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Charles, I know you're opening the season in Indianapolis with the Dolphins and the Colts, so we'll bounce all over the league with you, but I want to start with that matchup, if you don't mind. Give us the key storylines going into the game one that you're prepping for this week.
I think the easy ones are with the Dolphins. Can they run the ball better than they did last year? They revamped their offensive line. Will that come together for them? It's hard to believe things get better when you lose a Tron Armstead at left tackle. But I'm talking about overall across the board. They've got to be able to run it better. And if Devon Achane is healthy, as they claim he is, then that's a great start towards it. And we'll see where it goes from there. Can they get the receivers out wide back in form? You know, last year, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, they didn't hit the numbers they normally hit. Part of that was because Tua was hurt. So, you know, you're right back to, is Tua healthy? Because if he plays 17, this Dolphins team feels like they've got, you know, enough frontline talent. They should be a factor for the playoffs. And I do think their pass rush could be really, really impressive with Phillips and Chop Robinson and now add Matthew Judon and Bradley Chubb's return. They can get going that way. For the Colts, look, it's hard to believe. I was part of a broadcast team that did their last playoff game, which was 2020. And it's kind of stunning to believe that because for so long and so much of our lifetime, the Colts have been a major factor in what's going on in the NFL. And there they were falling short again last year. So much change, but it really comes down to Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones. He won the job beating out Anthony Richardson, their number four overall pick. He has to play well for them, and they feel like they've given him enough people around him that he can. The big thing, guys, is simply you look at his, you know, yards downfield, how, you know, where he pushes the ball, and he hasn't done much of that in his career, so people think he can't. But I think this is the best opportunity for him to do that. So if he doesn't now, it's because he won't. You know, you got Jonathan Taylor running it and Pierce and Pittman and Downs running downfield. And, you know, if they get Adonai Mitchell going, that's another huge threat. Now, Tyler Warren has been added. You see where I'm going with this. I think this offensive line is good enough, even with a couple of changes, that he should have that opportunity to throw it downfield. And he says that he will. And that's going to be a big, big key to what they do. And, of course, Lou Anarumo taking over a defensive coordinator. So a lot of storylines going into this game, but I think we could probably say that about every game we talk about.
Yeah, let's go chronological here. Thursday, we are not that long away from a division rivalry that, you know, kind of affects Washington tangentially. Charles, I was on Dallas as kind of a, you know, everyone's kind of looking past them. I thought with Micah or even his alter ego, Michael Parsons, they would be a factor, not necessarily catching Philadelphia, but, you know, a team you wouldn't want to play with, an offense that's healthy with some pieces. Now without him, I don't know. Just sort of walk me through your thoughts on Dallas and you know, the king until someone knocks them off, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, look, Philadelphia's got the best roster in football and continues to have the best roster in football. So I don't think there's much change there. We always worry about teams with Super Bowl hangovers and slumps and things of that nature. I'm going to wait and see that and see if it's proven to be. because I have to tell you, teams that run the ball so effectively and run it first, last, and always, I feel like they're teams that can avoid that in a lot of ways. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. But until we see it down the road, I think Philadelphia's, you know, primed and ready to go. With Dallas, it is a huge question mark, isn't it? How much of all this offseason upheaval and now him being gone, Parsons being gone, does that affect this team? Because in the past we've had offseason upheaval, but all those guys eventually got signed and remain Cowboys. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, you know, things that players of that ilk and nature. Now Parsons is gone. You got two draft picks for him that don't help you a lot going into 2025, do they? They may help the team later, but they don't help you going into this season. Huge question mark, but, you know, those Thursday night openers can be kind of weird, can't they? I still remember, was it Kansas City, New England? In New England, some back named Kareem Hunt from where? A Mac school? What? He actually fumbled in that game. Do you guys know that was the last fumble he's had in the NFL?
Is that right?
Wow.
It's unbelievable because he just doesn't drop the football. But you remember, he ended up leading the league in rushing that year as a rookie. He had over 1,300 yards. It was funny because I asked Andy Reid, I said, where did you first see this? Like, how'd you know about him? He said, I was sitting here doodling one night and had the TV on, and is that Maction? And this kid was just running all over everyone, and I made note of him, and then I saw they were playing again later that year, so I watched him again. Andy scouted him on TV first and then called Brett Beach and said, you better take a look at this running back. And that's how they ended up getting him.
That's amazing. Charles Davis is with us. Speaking of the draft, nobody better that time of year on NFL Network with his analysis. CBS Sports on the call of the NFL. He'll be the number one college analyst starting next football season for their CBS telecast as well. He's a rock star. He's with us here on Grant and Danny to help us kick off the NFL season. Charles, what do you make of the discourse on Washington, whether it's, you know, the possible sophomore slump or regression for Jaden Daniels? Yeah. Everything went great last year, or just year two of this program now with Adam Peters, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it, that we get so excited about teams, and especially what we saw last year with Washington. And I really felt like, guys, it wasn't just fans of D.C. I felt like around the league, people were kind of like, this is kind of cool. Washington being bad, especially if you're like my vintage, when you felt like every Sunday, Pat Summerall and John Madden were doing a game from RFK. You know, or they were playing someone in the division. It was just so huge. This felt good. I think I told you guys last year, visiting the facility now is entirely different. You go there and it just feels great. The atmosphere is good. The people are moving around and getting things done and smiling. Dan Quinn has been here before in Atlanta. And I know people felt like, you know, Dan had too many phrases and slogans and, you know, all those things that maybe kind of lost the guys. But you remember, he did that deep dive on himself and kind of came back and recalibrated. Adam Peters has been aggressive from the moment he took over as a GM. There's been no timidity in him at all. People have talked about all the moves they made this offseason. Guys, we were together last year, and Marshawn Lattimore happened. And I'm like, I don't think he waited until this year. He got after it now. The drafting last year, the bringing in Lattimore. I just feel like this team is going to do exactly what Dan Quinn would say, one of his pet phrases. They're going to go for it. And I think they're going to go for it in a very nice way. I think this team is built to handle what's going to come at them, because you guys know as well as I do, their rise and pop up, now people circle them on the calendar and on the schedule. People come at them a little bit differently. But I want to see if Jaden Daniels is going to regress. I just don't see it happening. I think this team continues to progress, and they will be a factor in chasing down Philadelphia. Because the NFC East, when was the last time we had a repeat winner, guys? 2004.
Yeah, decades ago.
2004, and it was Philadelphia. And Philly's got a chance to do it again. But I think Washington's going to challenge the heck out of them, and they're going to make them earn it if they indeed get it.
Our guy Charles Davis with us here on G&D. Washington's week two opponent, Green Bay. If there's such a thing as a quiet 11-6, they might have been that last year.
It. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah,
great point.
Yeah, so now they got Detroit week one. I want to ask you about those two teams. How close is that gap now with Micah Parsons in the fold after what, you know, the expectations last year, Charles, for Jordan Love were astronomical given how he finished 23. Still an okay season, but not what we thought. Give me kind of a temperature check on Green Bay, and how close is that gap between them and Detroit in your mind?
the gap had actually closed, I think, in the minds of many even before the Parsons deal. And you laid it out perfectly. If there's ever such a thing as a quiet 11-6, but of course it's going to be quiet because one team won 15 and one team won 14 in your division. I mean, how often is that going to happen? Not very. And now with Detroit, the new coordinators and blah, 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 right? You know, Minnesota, quarterback, he's not a rookie, but he might as well be because he hasn't played yet. All those things put Green Bay in prime position. To me, the Parsons deal is big because it told all of us that Green Bay was doing business differently than they've ever done it. And I mean, I'm talking about going from Ron Wolf as the GM to Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. Have we ever thought about Green Bay breaking ranks, getting out of draft and develop, giving up picks, and going out to get someone? No, it's not been their style. This was a big difference. So, like Dan Quinn, they've announced to the world they're going for it without totally breaking the bank. Sure, giving up two number ones is a big deal. But they feel like they've got infrastructure in place, a young quarterback, yada, yada, yada. That young quarterback who's played well the second half of both years as a starter – has got to have those types of starts now, not just the second half of the year. See where I'm going with this? Jordan Love's got to come out of the gate ready to rock and roll. He's had slow starts before and finished really strong. That can't happen this year if Green Bay's going to do what they think they can, which is chase down Detroit and Minnesota. And I think it's realistic when people say Green Bay can win the division. I think they absolutely can.
Charles, one of the divisions you're going to spend a lot of time covering this year and calling games in is the AFC North, where the Ravens are heavy favorites. Do you think Baltimore reloaded enough to overtake Kansas City? And then what about Cincinnati, who was 4-4 in games where they scored over 30 points last year?
Unreal.
If they could just be okay defensively, they could be a Super Bowl contender. And Pittsburgh brings in Aaron Rodgers. There's three fascinating teams in that division.
Yeah, let's start with Baltimore. Yes, absolutely they can. You guys know how close they've been at different times with Kansas City. Last year in the season opener, it was essentially the guy had half a shoe size smaller, right? They win. or let me rephrase. They have a chance to go for two for the win in that ballgame, which they absolutely were getting ready to do. That would have been interesting there. They had Kansas City at home in the AFC title game 2 years ago. Did not win that one. They have more than enough talent to do it. We all understand that. Now the key is, can you do it? Everyone talks about it. We can get it done. We can do this. We do. Burrow's the only real breakthrough, right? I mean, one year they broke through. Let's talk Cincinnati. Look, they changed coordinators with Lou Anarumo going out mainly because it just felt like you had to do something. My question is, did you change enough of players? Because when you look on that roster, they've changed a few guys out, but who have they brought in that's going to change things and become the true difference maker? Henderson had 17 and a half sacks last year. Getting him signed was paramount, but where are his tag team partners? Do we really expect Joseph Asai to all of a sudden now have double-digit sacks? Where's Miles Murphy, who was a first-round pick? Shamar Stewart held out for a while. Is he going to be ready to go and give them what they need off the edge? Your point is well taken. If their defense is just adequate, They should be great because of the offense, but we shall see. And who was that third team? You gave me a third one.
Steelers with Aaron Rodgers coming to town.
Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I know everybody talks about winning Super Bowls all the time, and Pittsburgh's no different. I think that if Aaron Rodgers plays all 17, Pittsburgh will be a factor. I put them in the playoffs every year until further notice. Everyone gets sick in Pittsburgh of hearing, hey, we've never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. Blah, blah, blah. It drives them insane. I keep telling them, you know who drives insane even more is Mike Tomlin, because Mike would like to go deeper in the playoffs. Their last three playoff appearances, as you guys know, they just lose. They get jumped on. Like, this is not the Pittsburgh Steelers you expect. You don't expect Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, and then you know they're going to be one and done, and they have been. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. I think Aaron Rodgers gives them a chance to win a playoff game this year. I don't know about going deeper in Super Bowl. I'm not quite there yet. But I don't bet against Coach Tomlin making the playoffs. And this time I think he's got a quarterback that gives him a chance to actually win a playoff game.
Charles, it feels like every year we find a kind of a new darling or a new team, and you know, we spend so much time making lists and you know, the talking heads, us included, decide that this team has now reached the royalty. They're going to compete with Mahomes and Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, et cetera. Last year, I feel like it was Houston, and on paper, I went, I see it. And if there's such a thing, again, as a disappointing 10-7, that was that. You might say Washington could be that team this year. You already talked about them. Yeah. But to me, this year, it's Denver. I look on paper and I go, I like every single thing that I see here, and yet it feels like people have already crowned them, you know, back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl champs at this point, where the hype train has left the station. Where are you at on Denver, and you know, will the rubber meet the road there?
I love where you're going with that one, and it makes a lot of sense. I said from the time the Super Bowl went to halftime, I mean, you guys helped me out here. Did anyone think that Kansas City is coming back that day?
Nope.
Didn't look good.
Did not look good, right? So from halftime on, I felt like if you're an AFC West opponent, and I was looking specifically at the Chargers, specifically at Denver, you're rubbing your hands together and saying, guys, this is a great opportunity, okay? They, you know, they look vulnerable now. Now, whether that's true or not, because remember, they did go 15-2, okay? But they went 15-2. What's the next thing you got to look at deeper? How did they win those games? Because that was a close 15-2, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, they were 15-2 because they were 11-0 in one-score games last year. How often do you get 11-0 in one-score games? It's rare, right? I think about it like that in terms – I think about it the way we think about takeaways. I think the last team to repeat in takeaway plus-minus champion was Seattle with the Legion of Boom. That's how hard it is. The ball bounces different. Things change year after year. But Kansas City, I just don't know that 11-0. I think they'll have a lesser record this year, but I think they'll have a better team. I think they've done a good job out wide. Tyquan Thornton looks like he might actually be a viable receiver in the NFL, which would be huge for Patrick Mahomes. They add to the speed with Worthy so that they can finally get the ball downfield and open up some more space for Kelce and crew underneath. They've got to do those sorts of things. They got the left tackle that plays. But flipping it to Denver, everything you're talking about is on target. If there is such a thing as arriving a year early, I thought Denver did. Because I don't know that we saw last year as being the year that Denver was going to make that move. But remember, in Kansas City, they were kicking a field goal to beat them. And Leo Chanel blocked it. Throw away the last game of the year when they blew out Kansas City. That does not count. Kansas City didn't play anyone. They were locked in with their record, the whole deal. But Denver felt really good kicking the heck out of them. This is an opportunity for them, yes. But in this case, guys, I'm still saying, this is like Ric Flair, man. You've got to still walk that aisle with Kansas City. Okay, you still got to go out and take them out. The Chargers, Denver, both of them should feel really good about their opportunities and chances. But until they take them out, I'm still rolling with KC.
All right, last one for me for Charles Davis, who's kind enough to preview the NFL season with us here in week one. Charles, the Bears, I'm completely enamored with Ben Johnson's first year. Mm-hmm. It seems like a ton of negative press on Caleb in the preseason in camp, and everyone's just piling on, but we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen him play. What are you expecting from Caleb Williams? And I'll even throw Michael Penix in as kind of a second-year quarterback thing. Two guys where there's questions in Penix's case just because we haven't seen a lot of them, but that's a winnable division.
Yeah, I'll start with Penix and crew. Remember, when he got inserted late in the season, they were playing meaningful games. He wasn't inserted just to run out the string. You guys saw him in a big game in D.C., huh?
Yeah, we did.
And he gave him an opportunity. So I think this kid's going to be just fine. And Atlanta, you know, we're going to continue with the going for it phrase. Did Terry Fontenot, their general manager, not signal that he's going for it when he traded back into the first round to get James Pierce to go with Jalen Walker?
That was wild.
Okay. That's telling the world, hey, in the NFC South, we think we can chase down Tampa if we get better pass rush, get some more heat on Baker Mayfield. That was a going for it move for Atlanta. The weird part for me, I think this is the best Tampa team they've had in the last 5 years. You know, everybody, the last 4 years, it felt like, you know, hey, we're close. We should have got them. How'd they let them? Because remember, they were like 8-9 winning a division, you know, 10-7. It wasn't anything that just blew you away. I think this is their best team. I think Tampa's got a chance to be a Super Bowl-type team this year. But Atlanta's going to go for it. I think Penix is going to be fine. I like what they're doing offensively. We'll see how it goes from there. But who was the guy again? The first one?
Caleb Williams.
Oh, Caleb Williams. Guys, were the Bears not America's darlings his rookie year? Remember, they did the, I called it the Hard Knocks bounce. Remember Detroit's Hard Knocks bounce, where everyone in the country was like, my favorite team is X, but I really like those Lions.
Yeah.
I felt like the Bears got a very similar bounce and vibe, and we were, look, maybe I was wrong, but I'm looking at that wide receiving core. I thought the O-line would be okay. Would they add the running back position? Could they make a little move? And then everything went to heck. How come it all comes back to D.C.? It really does, doesn't it? You guys are there. The ball bounces up in the air. Tyreek Stevenson screaming at the crowd, comes back, doesn't do his job properly. In fact, tips the ball. There's the catch. Our crew had them the very next week, and they talked all the right things and laid a massive egg in that game, and it was over right there. Ben Johnson gets a chance to resurrect it, the whole deal. But, guys, early on in training camp, how bad was the chatter about Caleb Williams? We were getting these videos where he's not hitting the net, throwing the ball. We're getting these things where he's two hopping passes. People are just losing their minds. People are going, Tyson Bagent should be the starting quarterback. All that was happening. And then what happened? The Buffalo preseason game. And Caleb Williams looked like the number one pick that they had drafted. How well did he throw the ball that night, guys?
That was pretty.
Bam, 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 right spot, hitting the guy in the right place, whole deal. This gives them the opportunity. They are just in a lousy division, aren't they? Could they be in a worse division for trying to improve? Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago. Couldn't be worse. And they're going to be a better team this year. I'm firmly convinced of that. Can they survive the gauntlet that is the other three? I think they'll be improved, but I'm still not sure they're a playoff team. But I am going to go out on a crazy limb and say Caleb Williams finally ends the 4,000-yard passing drought for Chicago quarterbacks.
Feels right. Charles, football's here. Enjoy this weekend, man, and we love having you on. Really appreciate the time, as always.
Always great to talk with you guys. Have fun. Have a great, great year. And look, I said it before. If you're a broadcaster, if you're someone covering, if you're whatever, and you're going out to Washington now and you're going to their facility, it's like a new world out there. And everyone enjoys going now as opposed to what it was like before. Give everybody involved from ownership on down a ton of credit. And by the way, they should have a darn good football team too.
Charles Davis, CBS Sports and NFL Network on Grant and Danny. Next, we'll give you our first feel on the matchup with the Giants at Northwest Stadium this Sunday. It is a game week. Still to come in our football extravaganza today, our buddy Ross Tucker stops by. He's on the call of a game this weekend as well. And Fox's Mike Pereira to talk all things officiating and new rules going into the 2025 season. Tucker at 4:40, Pereira at 5 o'clock. We'll take you up to 6:15 and Nats baseball on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to Charles Davis for stopping by. Big thanks to Kevin Burkhart for joining us earlier in the show. Our football game week kicking off with an extravaganza today. We'll talk to Ross Tucker at 4:40 and Mike Pereira at 5, some of our favorite NFL guests on Grant and Danny. We're jamming a lot into one show because tomorrow we got a Nats game day that's going to knock us off the air for a little while.
Yep.
And then Friday, in the lead-up, football Friday, ahead of week 1 and game 1 against the Giants, The Nats are at Wrigley, and we're going to have less than an hour on the air as well.
The game time, I'm sure that's the word. First pitch, game time, 2:20. So it would literally be 2:30, which would be the time that would kick us off the air for the longest, right? Just because of that. So it's 10 minutes difference there. But we'll take whatever we can get Friday before they play the foosball.
Just a nice little kick to the teeth in week number one for your guys as we're excited, ready to talk some football. But that's all right. When we are here, we're going to do some good radio for you this week. Before we get into our first feel on the Commanders and the Giants, who saw the new Ravens concessions prices for what they're calling their flock-friendly fare? It's a very alliterative, cute way of saying, We got some cheap stuff now, people. That's basically what the flock-friendly fare is.
Yes, it is.
The Falcons led the way on this. This is why Arthur Blank should be in the Hall of Fame. It's why Arthur Blank is in the Ring of Honor with the Atlanta Falcons. And now a lot of other teams are seeing that this works and you can actually do this and maybe not lose a ton of money. And if you do lose some money, it's okay because it's well worth it to take care of your people, right? They have 11 new items, or items, I should say, with new prices under $5 at their stadium, Danny. I will go through them with you right now. The barbecue chicken sandwich at Ravens games will cost
$4.99.
Nachos will cost $4.49. Hot dogs will only cost $3.49.
Unreal.
You want a big jumbo soft pretzel? No problem. $1.99.
When my son and I went to the Ravens game years ago, that was what that was even then?
Really?
Yeah, we got 5 soft pretzels over the course of the game because that's just what he wanted. I had one myself, and it was, you know, again, that would have cost me $50 probably had I gone to Nubs Field.
French fries are $3.49, as are peanuts. Blackbird chips, I guess that's like the type of, you know, dipping chip, queso dip and chips that you can get, $2.49. Popcorn, $1.99. By the way, that's my purchase.
There you go.
If we're doing one of those graphics that people build, Toki, you're good at this kind of stuff. Let's build a graphic where we do the rows and we say you get X amount of dollars and you have to pick your items. For me, $1.99 pretzel, boom goes the dynamite. $1.99 popcorn, let's do this thing. 24-ounce soda is only $3.99. I mean, movie theaters sleep on what the Ravens are doing. 20-ounce bottle of water is $3.49. That's still painful, but that's half of what it costs in a lot of places. And here's the best one. A 12-ounce beer, Danny, $4.99.
I just happen to have a list of some prices for Nubs Field to contrast right there. And then
Where did you get that?
This is from an Eric Flack. He tweeted a picture of they've done some accenting on some of the signage. So it's a little bit burgundy, a little bit gold, which is nice. But then you could see the price is pretty clear as day. I'm going to turn it around and show you the picture from his account. You could see those. Okay. And you see a lot of large numbers next to the prices of food items.
So let's hear some of them.
For example, Ray's Hail Nachos, $29.99. That's $29.99. Okay. That is 7 times the amount of nacho cost as you have at those Ravens games.
Now, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. Having been on that food tour, not this year, but last year, that nacho bowl, so to speak, that they're giving you, it's designed like an NFL stadium, and it's this giant, like, it's a family of 6 or a big party or like a tailgating group that's all sitting together that would pass this around and consume this. My guess is the $4.49 nachos for the Ravens are just a small little, like, tray you'd get at a movie theater or something with, like, 24 chips in it that are a little circular stacked together, and that one is a crazy big one. I will say $30 for nachos, and maybe it's just because I hate nachos. That's a lot to deal with.
Well, or you could get the brisket nachos for $21.49 at this same spot.
That's a better deal. Yeah. I get meat on my nachos.
Sure, yeah.
See, that's probably a smaller
regular portion. Yeah. So that's only 5 times more expensive. The jumbo beef hot dog is $9. That's $8.99 for that one.
So I don't think that's a size thing, right? I mean, the hot dog at the Ravens game and the hot dog at the Commanders game, maybe we could put them side by side to see whose is bigger. But I think the Ravens hot dog at $3.49 is probably about the same size.
You have to pay a lot for that comparison.
I don't know who has a girthier hot dog.
I couldn't tell you.
But I would, if the hot dog girth, like, what's more important for you, the length of the hot dog or the girth?
I want value. So figure that out.
You want
the equation.
Dog to not cost a whole lot.
That's what I want.
I'm just saying, what was the Commanders one?
$8.99.
And what's that? Standard 5.5 inches?
Yeah. Sick? Whatever you think standard is, yeah.
It's probably something like that.
Yeah, right?
Any hoodles, $3.49 for a hot dog versus whatever the Commanders one costs, seems like the Ravens are winning that.
The Jumbo Pretzel. So Pretzel's 1-1 there. That's $8.99 for at the Washington game, as opposed to, remember, a fraction of that at the Ravens game.
This pretzel's $1.99. I think that pretzel's probably bigger. It's got to be.
Probably is. But again,
I think the Ravens are doing a thing where they are being much cheaper, and all the stuff is way smaller. It's like a very...
You're saying they're doing fun size bits?
I think to some extent.
So what I think is they're just not charging anywhere near these outrageous prices. I think you're dressing it up as a different way.
I think both are true. To be clear. No. Hold on.
Okay.
The Ravens are doing a better thing than Washington.
Okay.
The win here is the Ravens. The loss here is the Commanders.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But my point is, I'd like to see, but I guarantee you, if you get a soft pretzel, a guarantee strong, you pour out your thing of chips for $30 and I pour out my thing of chips for $4.99. There's a hell of a lot more chips that I'm paying the 30 for.
There'll be more chips than the 30, probably. We can just go. It's the most expensive beer in the NFL by almost a couple of dollars. The regular domestic beer, $16.99 there at this one particular stand.
How many ounces?
Again, I'm not sure.
That's one of them tall boys, I think. This is where being a cocktail guy, not a beer guy, doesn't help me a whole lot.
The canned cocktail is $22.99.
And how much is that? How many ounces?
Again, I don't know.
How many ounces in a tall boy beer?
20 is your usual tall boy.
Okay. Be 20 ounces, 24 ounces, up to 32. Commonly 16. So if it's commonly 16 ounces, let's say 16 to 20, this is $4.99 for 12 ounces. That's a bottle.
Yeah. So the 16-ounce beer in the NFL, so that's what they measure the cost for, who has the most expensive beer. Washington, number one by far, $16.49. The next closest is the Raiders in Vegas at $14.99. So they are lapping people in that
regard. I saw number one on that list was the Bengals, whose same exact beer as Washington is six-something. $6 and some change. That one's tough for me.
Bottled water, $6.
Because there's a lot of drunk people at these games. Some of that is done via the tailgating, but there's a lot of people that are just pummeling 7 or 8 beers while they're there.
What was that Ravens souvenir popcorn?
$1.99.
This is almost that, only one digit off, $12.99. So they put that two in, they snuck that two in there.
Again, though, pour out your popcorn. I'll pour out mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ravens, doing it correctly, give me less and charge me nothing. That's what they're doing. But you got to think that
Are there six times more kernels than that Washington one than they're on the Ravens
one? I don't think it's six times as many.
Yeah, I don't either. I think the concessions are too expensive in Washington. Now, I understand. I get it. You're running a business. You've got to make some of that $6 billy back, and you got a stadium to build. I understand. You're trying to make some money. I get it. But, I wish it was not the case.
Yeah, me too. Double play is next. We will have our first feel on Giants Commanders coming up. We got a blitz 20 minutes out on Grant and Danny, including the Nats, who had a debuting lefty throw a really good game yesterday. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 15 minutes, we'll give you a Beltway Blitz covering the teams in town you care the most about on this Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. It is time for our double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
GP, is this number three? For workout buddies?
Number three.
We've been doing workout Wednesdays, but we've had to reschedule a couple times because of the old schedule. So we did workout buddies today. So we initially called it workout Wednesday, and then we were calling it Operation Less Fat. Now we're just trying to do something once a week. Toby went through everything. The people want to know, did Toby puke today?
Toby did not puke today.
No pukage. No pukage. Huh?
That's two workouts in a row.
Right? That's two straight. That is a, I had to look this up, that is a streak. We're going streaking through the quad into the gymnasium. Take your clothes off. It's cool. Bring your green hat. Going streaking.
It has happened before. If we win again, that would be a winning streak. Well done, Toby. So that's, you did Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday. That's a quick turnaround from Thursday
to Tuesday. Yes, so we were on Thursday last week, Tuesday this week, only day that fits in because everybody's got stuff going on tomorrow with the Nats and everything. So we did it today, coming off the long weekend. Worked very hard. There were a couple times I thought we were teetering. I'm not trying to be a jerk, Tobes, but there were a couple times I thought, we may have done it again. He took a breath, got some water, right back at it.
So the original workout still the most strenuous, and you backed it off, correct?
Yes.
All right. Was this workout a level up from the second one or on par with the second one?
This one I thought was a little bit harder. So we did different muscle groups. We did chest and tries today. And Tobes came through with flying colors, did everything, even did the finishers at the end, different the push-ups, pull-ups, close grip bench, the ab finishers. He did everything and crushed it. In fact, Danny,
overzealously hovering over you,
yes,
telling you good job.
Again, I don't mind that stuff. I need that stuff in the gym.
Was there a lot
I don't
of that?
Mind it.
But you got to confirm. That's
he's helping me out. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't
so
mind
there's
it.
Plenty of that.
And I'm not saying anything. I'm just giving information. So we do these the partner throwdowns, right, where I'm just explaining how it goes, okay? So one person's laying on the ground, and you reach behind you, and you grab the ankles of the other person. Okay, again, this is exercising. That's all we're doing is exercising. And then you raise your feet up, and then your partner pushes them down. So they're throwdowns. You follow that?
Sure.
So he's raising his feet up. I push him down, raise his feet up, push him down. He did as many as Ryan. I'm not saying anything other than that information. He did as many as Ryan for the throwdown finisher.
How does Ryan catch shrapnel in this?
It's not shrapnel. It's information.
Okay.
That's all it is.
We appreciate the information.
That's right.
Time for my double play. Attaboy Tobes. Yesterday, my family hit up three, I can't quite call them zoos,
mm-hmm,
but I'm going to call them zoos. So my kids are obsessed with animals. They're in that age, that wheelhouse age, right? My oldest, my daughter is 6. My oldest boy is 4. And then my 2-year-old is just kind of along for the ride and says cute things and laughs a lot. But the older two watch this show called Wild Kratts. Did you guys ever get into that?
I know about
all?
The Wild Kratts. PBS show. They had their own brand of shampoo. Then we learned that you can't use it because it's like kind of toxic or something. I don't know.
You know about the Wild Kratts?
The Wild Kratts, buddy.
No kidding.
All about the Wild Kratts.
That's awesome. So
the
my
two dudes,
kids,
yeah.
They're obsessed with the Wild Kratts. So they now do their own Wild Kratts series, where they go out and they find little bugs and they're like, we're the wild kids. And they do this. So this is all they want to do is just go see animals. So yesterday we started out at Frying Pan Road. There's some Frying Pan Farm, which is like a petting zoo, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. We started with that. That was a win. That was successful. We leave there, and we wanted to go do the drive-through safari thing that is out west in the Leesburg area. So we drive to the Leesburg Zoo, and I walk in, and I realize, wait a second, we're not in the right place. This is not where the safari is. And I'm trying to buy tickets. They're like, no, I think that's in Reston. So then we stepped foot in. We were at the Leesburg Zoo, and since you're there, now you got to walk around a little bit, and you're in the gift shop and whatever else.
Sure.
So that's the second one that we were at.
That's two zoos. It's two.
And then we went to the Reston joint where we were going to do the drive-through safari, but they said, look, it's packed. We recommend that you walk through everything and you hang out for a little bit and you come back out later, which is what we did. So we went through that whole zoo. We're feeding turtles. We're feeding goats. We're looking at cheetahs. We're doing everything. And then you come out, and have you ever done this drive-through safari?
No.
We've done this many times, but not in the last probably year and a half, 2 years, with the kids. If you're a parent listening to me right now anywhere in Virginia or in the DMV area, and there's ever a weekend where you just need to get your kids out of the house, go do something fun, drivable within an hour, and come back a few hours later, like if you're a dude like me and you just get your kids out of the house for your wife or mm-hmm, something, this is what you need to do. So it's the Reston Zoo. It's got a different name. It's like Nova Wild or something.
Mm-hmm.
The safari drive-through thing is a 10 out of 10. So you can buy food to feed these animals for like $20. But these big Texas Longhorns, they got beat by Ohio State.
So Arch Manning's there for
some reason. Arch Manning was there. this gigantic Josh Allen Buffalo Bill. There's three buffaloes. Mm-hmm. There's a million deer. I mean, you name the animal, it's out there basically grazing. But they walk right up, Danny. They're putting their head in your car. They're like licking your kids' arms as they're feeding them. My kids were screaming, feeding them big leaves of lettuce that were the size of elephant ears. With some of the smaller, like, goat-type animals or whatever, you can actually feed them with your hand with, like, these pellets that they give you. But I'm telling you, it's quite literally the closest thing you can get to, like, a safari, anywhere within hours of here. And if you've got young kids like me, it's a second deck, 479-foot, Juan Soto opposite field home run.
You're the hero of the day.
It was the best. So we hit up three of those. We leave the house. We come back like 7 hours later. Everybody's spent.
What an oddity.
Odyssey.
No, so that's audacious. I'm thinking about the Odyssey like a journey.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Like the Iliad, but.
Yeah, but the Odyssey, right. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, your kids are a little bit older, but your youngest especially, well, not your youngest, but your middle and your youngest. I even think Bill, I think they would love it.
So
who's not going to love, like, I know your son is a middle schooler. The idea of a longhorn, like, sticking his horns in the car and, like, licking dad.
Oh, he wants no part of it.
I'm telling you, he would love it.
William would not. But the other guys might. There might be a shot. But my oldest would just be, get me away from this immediately. I want nothing to do with it.
Until it started, maybe. When it started, I'm just trying to tell you, there's not a kid on the planet. Like, kids are interested in dogs and, you know, different animals. Now we're going to imagine a gigantic alpaca. It's just got his head, like, in your dashboard, just, like, looking at you. I'm telling you, you got to try it. And then tell me I'm wrong. I think he would love it.
I mean, I may take the younger one to it, but I'm telling you, the idea, he would be resentful for years. If I was like, hey, hold your hand out in the animal, and he's like, he wants no bug, no animal. Like, he is just out on anything like that. Whereas if we met a kid this weekend, new family in our neighborhood. The kid's like, yeah, I went out and caught this, you know, the black rat snake. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he's the opposite of my son. I know where he gets it from. I want nothing to do with most animals. Like, we need to have more deference.
My kids are coming up to me with random animal facts all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we were there yesterday. They're like, do you know camels have three eyelids? I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe.
You know, armadillos can.
My son, he knows I hate snakes. And he's like, Dad, you hate king snakes, too? And I'm like, is it a snake? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, then yes.
Then yes.
He goes, well, you said you hate copperheads. I said, they're my least favorite. And he's like, well, king snakes eat copperheads. And I was like, is that true? He's like, yeah. And they're just harmless. He's like, he calls it venomous. He calls
venomous.
It venomous.
Yeah, venomous.
He goes, well, they're venomous. They're non-venomous, and they eat copperheads, and they just live in your garden. And I was like, are you sure about this? He's four. He's like, yeah. And so I asked ChatGPT, and she told me everything he said checked out. He was right. And I'm like, I kind of like them.
So they're greater than copperheads, but still worse than everything else.
I agree with that. Like,
imagine just seeing one.
Like, He needed the win.
No,
he's like, are you sure, Dad? And I'm like, you know what? I like king steaks now. And he's like, yes. So like he got his win. But that's what they do. They just present little animal information. They're the wild kids. Wild Kratts, but they're kids.
But kids.
The Beltway Blitz is next on G&D. Ross Tucker at 4:40 today on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.